If you're enjoying Bradbury 100, please search for my YouTube channel, Bradbury 101, where I review Ray's books and films. And why not check out my other podcast, Science Fiction 101, where we explore science fiction from all angles. Find Science Fiction 101 wherever you get your podcasts. This is Bradbury 100, celebrating the life and work of American writer Ray Bradbury. I'm Phil Nichols of bradburymedia.co.uk. Hello and welcome to Bradbury 100. I've been away for a few weeks, but now I'm back because there's a very special event happening in the publishing world, which is the first ever paperback edition of Ray Bradbury's Dark Carnival. Although you'd be forgiven for not knowing about it because there's not been very much publicity about it. Dark Carnival was actually Ray Bradbury's first ever book, published in hardcover in 1947 through the legendary Arkham House publishers. But in recent years, it's been quite difficult to get your hands on Dark Carnival because until now, there have only ever been three editions of the book. There was the Arkham edition, 1947, the UK edition in 1948, which had a truncated table of contents, and there was a 2001 limited edition from Gauntlet Press. But now, at the time of recording, which is March 2024, by the way, we finally have the first paperback and ebook editions of Dark Carnival, allowing readers easy access to Ray's debut short story collection. That 1947 first edition of Dark Carnival from Arkham House collected 27 of Ray's stories, most of which had appeared previously in Weird Tales magazine. But the book did also include six new stories, previously unpublished stories. Now, over on my YouTube channel, which is called Bradbury 101, I have a video that I put together some time ago about what I called Ray Bradbury's lost book. Now, I guess I should revise it now because Dark Carnival is no longer a lost book. It's now available in mass market form. So I really must revisit that video. Anyway, in the video, I go through the story of Dark Carnival. So if you want to know more about Dark Carnival's composition, how it was reshuffled in the revised British edition, and how it evolved into the October Country, go and take a look at that on YouTube. I'll put a link in the show notes on bradburymedia.co.uk. But in brief, Dark Carnival includes some of Ray's absolute classic stories, some of his very best compositions. The Homecoming, Skeleton, The Jar, The Lake, The Emissary, The Small Assassin, The Crowd, The Scythe, The Wind. It goes on and on, 27 of these. It's an astonishing collection, really, from a writer who was only about 26 years old when the book first appeared. It's a personal thing, but my four favourites from Dark Carnival will probably always be, I think, Skeleton, The Crowd, The Scythe, and The Lake. Skeleton, well, frankly, it scares the life out of me. Always has, and I think it always will, even though I know the story backwards. I think it's because it has a sense of humour as well as being a horror story. And this is one of the greatest things that we find in the early Bradbury, is the ability to blend those two aspects. He's not the only writer who can do that, of course. His friend Robert Bloch was also very good at combining chills with laughs. But I think what Ray does perfectly in Skeleton is allow you to understand the key conceit of the story, which is about a man who realises that he has a skeleton inside of him, as we all do, of course. But it also shows him undertaking treatment when he visits Munigent, the bone specialist. So it will scare you and make you laugh at the same time. An amazing piece of writing. The Crowd, I've said many times on this podcast, is one of my favourite Bradbury stories. It's one of his finest compositions. This is the one about the car crash. Then there's The Scythe, which I think is a little bit inexplicable. Certainly I find it very difficult to explain to people. The first time I ever read The Scythe, I thought it was creepy, but it was also odd. This is the one about the man who takes over a farm. He goes out to cut the wheat, and his family die. And he keeps cutting the wheat, knowing that he essentially is the Grim Reaper. Now, Ray wrote The Scythe during the Second World War. It was first published in 1943. And, well, in logical terms, the story makes no sense. If you try to explain the plot, it just sounds odd. But it's incredibly powerful as this man realises what he is, but knows that he must carry on doing it. And then there's The Lake. This was always one of Bradbury's own favourite stories. He said, in fact, that it's the story that really established that he was a writer in his own mind. Now, this is the one about the man who returns to the lake of his childhood. And we can easily see this as being Lake Michigan, the lake on whose shores lies Waukegan, Illinois, Ray's birthplace, the town where he grew up. Anyway, a man returns to the lake, which is a place where one of his close childhood friends lost her life. And now, after all these many years, something washes ashore. It's a frightening story. It's a nostalgic story. It's a heartbreaking story. If you've never read The Lake, I'm sorry to say you've never read Ray Bradbury. You must read The Lake. It's essential. Perhaps the most astonishing thing about the stories in Dark Carnival is how many of them have been adapted for TV, radio, and so on. There are 27 stories in the original version of Dark Carnival, and 14 of those have turned up on the Ray Bradbury TV series, Ray Bradbury Theatre, in the 80s and the 90s, on the Alfred Hitchcock Hour, Alfred Hitchcock Presents, radio shows like Suspense, and Ray's own radio series, Bradbury 13 and Tales of the Bizarre. The second ever edition of Dark Carnival was the British first edition. And this was a hardcover from Hamish Hamilton, published 1 year after the American edition. But this was a cut-down version. The post-war paper shortage apparently made it very difficult for Hamish Hamilton to publish the full 27 stories. So instead, they cut it down. They took out 7 stories. In this version, the maiden disappears, reunion disappears, the coffin, interim, jack-in-the-box, they all disappear, the scythe is gone, the night sets is gone. Arguably, you could say that the British version is a stronger collection, simply because it eliminates a number of the stories, leaving behind the very, very best. That's an optimistic way of looking at the UK first edition. But, of course, that's highly arguable. The stories that I consider the very best might be very different to the ones that you consider the very best. Anyway, after the UK first edition, Dark Carnival went out of print. Ray decided somewhere along the line that he wanted to reconsider the stories in the book. And so in 1955, he put out what we might call an alternative version of Dark Carnival. And it's a book you might well have on your shelves. It was called The October Country. The October Country was a short story collection that contained most of Dark Carnival, but not all of it. And some of the stories had been rewritten. Now, this was Ray doing a thing that we've seen elsewhere in his career, reconsidering the table of contents of a book. We saw this with The Martian Chronicles, where different editions have slightly different contents. We see it with The Illustrated Man, and we see it here with The October Country. In assembling the October Country, Ray took out some of the Dark Carnival stories and added in a couple of new stories, and then he refined and polished the whole package. The thing is, by 1954, 1955, when he was putting together the October Country, there were a number of stories in Dark Carnival that he was a bit uncomfortable with. Ray often said that as a young writer, he would write about some very dark things, and that later in his life, he just wouldn't want to go there, especially once he was married, and especially once he had children, daughters. There were certain stories from his early career that he just would not want to go back to because they made him shudder. So partly what drove the October Country was Ray's attempt to filter out the worst shockers, for want of a better term, from the original short story collection and to create something that was a bit more balanced. And I think that's why the stories that he added to the October Country, The Dwarf, The Watchful Poker Chip, Touched with Fire, and The Wonderful Death of Dudley Stone, generally are not shockers. They're more realistic in some cases or surreal in others. Of the stories that he did choose to carry over from Dark Carnival to the October Country, Ray didn't completely rewrite everything. And indeed, some stories he didn't really change at all. But he did polish. He did extend some of the stories by a small amount. And if you look at the book Ray Bradbury, The Life of Fiction by John Eller and Bill Tuponce, a book I refer to endlessly in this podcast, you will see in that book details of which stories Ray modified. In most cases, such as The Small Assassin and The Crowd, these were very light revisions. And really, you'd have to study the text carefully to even spot the differences. But in other cases, the stories were significantly revised. And this is what happened to Jack in the Box, Uncle Einar, The Man Upstairs, Cistern, and The Emissary. Now, in many cases, the changes don't really modify the plot. They don't necessarily modify the characterizations or motivations in the story. But the changes do polish the story. Take the example of The Lake, for instance. The lightly revised version in The October Country is a beautiful work of short fiction. But that's not to say that the original version in Dark Carnival wasn't also a perfect short story. But somehow, Ray is able to take something that you look at and you think, well, that's just perfect. And then he's able to polish it, to make it even more perfect. And this is part of the charm of Ray Bradbury's writing for me, that just when you think you've got a handle on what is a strong Bradbury story, he's able to make it even stronger. Incidentally, while I'm talking about the October Country, something a bit strange happened in the UK back in the 1960s. Ray's then UK paperback publisher, Corgi Books, didn't want the October Country. It was horror, as far as they were concerned, and that wasn't what they were looking for from Ray Bradbury at that time. Because Corgi didn't want it, that opened up the opportunity for another publisher to take it, and I think it was Ace Books. And they put out a cut-down version of the October Country, so they weeded out some of the stories. And then they took those deleted stories and they put them in a new book along with some of the stories missing from the original UK edition of Dark Carnival. And so this new book was invented, which is called The Small Assassin. Now, it's no longer in print in the UK. The UK editions of Ray's books are now pretty much harmonised with the American range of Bradbury books. But for a good few decades there, in the UK, we had this additional volume called The Small Assassin. Anyway, the US version of the October Country was allowed to stay in print really forever. So clearly the October Country is Ray's preferred version of these various stories. And because the October Country was the preferred version, Dark Carnival was no longer needed from Ray's point of view. And so after those early editions in 1947 and 1948, Dark Carnival was allowed to just vanish. If you happen to own one of those first editions, you could be sitting on a small fortune. The Arkham House first edition, typically online, will sell for anything upwards of $500, and I've seen copies go for $2,000 and more. The Hamish Hamilton UK first edition isn't quite so valuable, but it's still quite rare, and so you can still expect to pay hundreds of dollars for a copy. The third time that Dark Carnival saw print was in 2001, so we're talking over 50 years after the first edition. The 2001 version was a limited edition put out by Gauntlet Press. And by all accounts, Ray took some persuading to allow a new edition of Dark Carnival at this point, but Gauntlet Press were the publishers who persuaded him to do the reissue. And they also produced a CD, an audio CD, with an interview with Ray where they got him to talk about some of the stories in the book. But something Ray was never interested in was having any kind of mass market reissue of Dark Carnival. The limited edition from Gauntlet was one thing, but as far as he was concerned, the October Country was his preferred presentation of those stories, and so he didn't revisit the possibility of Dark Carnival after 2001, and of course, Ray died in 2012. Now, quite how this has come about, I don't know, but in the UK, Harper Voyager, which is part of HarperCollins, has now issued a paperback and an ebook version of Dark Carnival. They first hinted at this in 2013, when a whole batch of Bradbury titles were announced as being made available in ebook editions. But it wasn't formally confirmed until almost 2 years ago, and there was no big fanfare announcement. It was a kind of, oh, by the way, here's another book in our Ray Bradbury range. And then there was this long period where the announced publication date of Dark Carnival kept being pushed further and further down the road. But now, in March 2024, the book is here. It's out. It's available. But only in the UK. Now, I may be speaking out of turn because I don't know the secrets behind the arrangements for Dark Carnival being issued in paperback. But I'm assuming there must be some contractual complication currently in issuing Dark Carnival in the United States. And so it's down to the UK arm of HarperCollins to put out this new paperback and ebook edition. Back in 2013, on my blog, I mentioned that I was concerned that HarperCollins might just assume that they could piece Dark Carnival together just by gathering up the individual stories from the October Country and other Bradbury books, but that this would be a mistake because the October Country versions had been rewritten, well, some of them at least. Now, a little birdie tells me that HarperCollins may indeed have initially made that mistake, but they were redirected to the proper content of the book, which essentially is the text as it appeared in the 2001 edition of Dark Carnival, a version which was correctly prepared from the first edition and which had been approved by Bradbury himself. So, what is the new edition of Dark Carnival like? Well, I'm pleased to say it has all 27 stories from the 1947 edition, and they're in the correct order. And that means, of course, that the stories that were dropped in the transition to the October Country are now back. Now, most of these dropped stories have been available in Ray's other books, such as Bradbury Stories. But there are a handful of stories which haven't ever been seen outside of Dark Carnival. And those stories are Interim, The Night Sets, Reunion, and The Maiden. And as far as I can tell from just a quick skim of this new edition, the correct text has been used, And you can spot this straight away with the lake, which has a different opening in Dark Carnival to the revised version in the October Country. Let me read the openings to you. This is how the Dark Carnival version of the story opened back in 1947 and in the new edition. They cut the sky down to my size and threw it over the Michigan Lake, put some kids yelling on tallow sand with bouncing balls, a girl or two, a criticising parent, and me breaking out of a wet wave, finding this world very bleary and moist. I ran up on the beach. So that's the original Dark Carnival text. Now the October Country revises that opening paragraph. It goes like this. The wave shut me off from the world, from the birds in the sky, the children on the beach, my mother on the shore. There was a moment of green silence. Then the wave gave me back to the sky, the sand, the children yelling. I came out of the lake and the world was waiting for me, having hardly moved since I went away. I ran up on the beach. Now that revised opening is just so powerful, and it foreshadows the tragic event which is revealed later in the story. So, as I say, the Dark Carnival version is fine, it's perfect. But the revised version is perfecter. But for today's purposes, the important thing is that the new edition of Dark Carnival restores the 1947 text. If you have a copy of the October Country, you might also want to compare Jack in the Box to the version in the new edition of Dark Carnival. The opening of the two versions of Jack in the Box is strikingly different. It's still the same basic story, but it's amazing how a different opening can change the tone and the feel of a story. Now, as I say, I've only skimmed the new edition so far. I've sampled a few stories to check whether they've got it right. And as far as I can see, the new Dark Carnival does indeed appear to be the correct text. So it's great to see Dark Carnival back on the bookshelves. If you live in the UK, as I do, you can get this through any decent bookshop, basically. You can get it online through the usual places, Amazon UK, Blackwell's, and so on. If you're in the US, or at least if you're outside of the UK, you may not be served up with this book because it's only being published in the UK. So you may have to get it shipped to you. And I know some of you living in the States will be saying, I can't get books shipped to me here in the US. I don't know how to do that. But as a Bradbury collector of many years, I can tell you that a true Bradbury fan just doesn't balk at the idea of getting books shipped. Only a fraction of Ray's output has ever been published in the UK. So much of my collection, I would say, is made up of books published in the US that I have had to get shipped, sometimes at vast expense. But nowadays, it's relatively easy to do that. If you use Amazon, for example, I'm not promoting Amazon, but if you happen to be happy with using Amazon, just know that Amazon operates more or less separate companies in most of the countries that it operates in. So you may have to look around a bit. Google Amazon UK and go to that version of the website. And by the way, I am 100% certain that Amazon UK will ship to the US. I know people who have copies winging their way to them, even as we speak. True, you'll probably pay as much in shipping as you pay for the book itself. It's currently listed at around about $10 or $11, so take that figure, double it, and that's likely what you'll pay to get it shipped to the US. I'm told that Blackwell's UK will also ship to the US and will do it for a lower cost than Amazon, so you may want to check out Blackwell's UK as well. And if you're worried about the legitimacy of doing this, there's nothing wrong with an individual buying a book from another country. That's perfectly okay. What is frowned upon is importing in bulk for the purpose of trade. So you'll probably find that Amazon UK will allow you to buy one copy of the book and ship it anywhere in the world, but it probably won't allow you to buy 10 copies. But what's the value of having Dark Carnival in paperback form or ebook? Well, this is literally the first time that it's ever been available in these forms. Okay, if you were around in 1947 or 48, you might have been able to afford the hardcover, but since that time, since those editions went out of print, you need really hundreds of dollars to get a Dark Carnival. So to be able to get a copy now for $10 or less is quite remarkable. Do we really need Dark Carnival? Well, I think so. I like to see how things began. And although the October Country collects together some of Ray's earliest works, they've all been modified to some extent. Even if the stories themselves haven't been edited, the arrangement of stories within the book is different in the October Country to what it was in Dark Carnival. So Dark Carnival really does allow us to rewind, to go back to the beginning of Bradbury's career and see how people would have perceived his work at that point. Most readers in 1947 probably were not that familiar with Weird Tales, which is where many of the stories first appeared. Now, Weird Tales was a phenomenally successful pulp magazine, but however successful it would only have been read by a minority of the reading population, and some people would deliberately stay away from something like Weird Tales precisely because it was a pulp magazine, and they would want nothing to do with that, with its garish covers. So collecting Ray's stories together into a hardcover book back in 47 opened those stories up to a whole new readership, potentially a bigger readership as well, and certainly a more sophisticated readership. And it presents the stories in a more respectable form and in a form which is designed to be for the ages. Pulp magazines were designed to be ephemeral. They literally crumble to dust in your hand as you're holding them. A hardcover book is for the ages. And of course, some of those early stories from Bradbury were shockers, and they were perfectly at home in Weird Tales. But put those stories in a book and you bring a different value to them. So being able to look at Dark Carnival again after all these years is fantastic. I've had the privilege of laying hands on first editions of Dark Carnival before, but I've never owned a first edition. I don't own the Arkham House edition. I don't own the Hamish Hamilton. I don't even own the Gauntlet Press edition. I missed out on all of those. I've been able to look at them because copies exist in libraries and in the Ray Bradbury Centre in Indianapolis, which I've visited a number of times. So I've been able to look at them, to turn the pages, to savour the content, to savour the look and the feel of a physical book. But I've never been able to afford one of those editions. But now I can have my own copy, my own paperback or ebook version of Dark Carnival. And I placed my order for Dark Carnival well over a year ago. And I'm so pleased that it's finally dropped through my letterbox this morning, and I've been able, for the first time in my life, to say that I own a copy, Bradbury's first ever book and one of his finest collections. Yes, we've always had the October Country, but that's a much more balanced book in terms of its tones. And it doesn't change the fact that Ray Bradbury's career was built on the foundation of Dark Carnival. He did go to dark places, and he was very good at it, and I, for one, want to be able to revisit those dark places. Thank you very much. Are there any negatives to this new edition? Well, I have one little gripe. The new edition provides no context. It really needs an introduction, telling the reader what this book is. I can imagine some casual buyers picking it up and thinking, "Ooh, a Bradbury book that I don't have." And then they get home and start reading, and they discover it's mostly made up of stories they already know. Without explanation, this new edition could look just like a cynical repackaging exercise, yet another greatest hits compilation in disguise. So I think in fairness to the casual buyer, it needs a little explanation that this is Ray's first book, newly available to a wide readership for the first time in X number of years. And for the dedicated Bradbury fan, I think a little extra value could have easily been added by the inclusion of a foreword. And if you're listening, HarperCollins, I'm always happy to knock off a foreword or an introduction to a book. So just give me a shout and I'll send one to you. But apart from that minor gripe, I'm really very pleased that Harper Voyager has brought out a paperback and an ebook of Dark Carnival. And I hope you're able to get your hands on a copy. And if you do, let me know what you think of it. And if you happen to own a first edition of the Arkham House or the Hamish Hamilton or the Gauntlet Press editions, let me know, how did you get them? How much did you pay, if you don't mind telling me? And do you regret the investment? Well, I'm off to do some reading now. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you again next time on Bradbury 100. If you enjoy Bradbury 100, please give me a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. A 5-star review will help others to find the podcast. Bradbury 100 is presented and produced by Phil Nichols. Music is provided by Purple Planet at purpleplanet.com. Please subscribe to or follow the podcast using your podcast app. You can find us on all podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and all good podcast places. And don't forget to look for my Bradbury 101 series on YouTube and my other audio podcast, Science Fiction 101. For information on all of these and an endless supply of information about Ray Bradbury and his works, head to my website, bradburymedia.co.uk.